This episode is brought to you by the official coffee of the Chromecast podcast, Fresh Roasted Coffee, who we've partnered with to make a special edition Chrome Unboxed anniversary blend. Here at Chrome Unboxed, we're not just nerdy about Chromebooks, we're also coffee snobs. And look, we wasted a lot of time hand roasting coffee before we found Fresh Roasted Coffee, and we haven't looked back since. This coffee is roasted fresh to order, immediately packaged, nitrogen flushed, and shipped directly to your door. And although we can't officially say that this Chrome Unboxed edition tastes any better than the normal anniversary blend, that is the word around town. But don't just take our word for it. Pick up a bag for yourself and let us know what you think. You can grab a bag over at chromeunboxed.com/coffee. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe. I'm joined here today by Robbie.
I should have known it was going to be me first. It's me and a plant. You know what I'm saying?
So. Gabe isn't here. Gabe is on vacation. But for those of you who are watching, you can see we have a nice plant edition.
Yeah.
Paul.
Paul the plant.
Paul the plant. Plantipus.
Or Philip.
Philip.
Paul's better.
I like Paul. Andy Cam has been doing such a good job keeping this plant
look at
alive.
It's luscious.
It's thriving, dude.
It's thick. The leaves are all waxy looking, you know?
It's because I have a
green think that's good.
Thumb. So
yeah.
That's actually from the accident.
But hey. Dual duty.
It's been thriving. I love it.
Yeah. Under Joe's tutelage, it was dying.
I put it in quickly. The windowsill where it wasn't supposed to be. And
didn't water it like he
didn't
was supposed
water it.
To.
And yes. Then I told Andrew mentioned that he had some house plants, so I said, hey, I would love for you to take on, you know, the duties of the plant. And he's been doing a great job.
Yeah,
doing
plant,
a great
plant's
job, man.
Doing really well on his desk.
It's right.
Looks great.
So let's first talk about we have some news we're gonna talk about, but we have a couple other updates. First of all, if you are watching, you might notice that it looks a little different.
I'm super interested to see what this looks like.
We have a dope new lantern. So we're using the Aperture 120D Mark II, and we have a Aperture lantern dome is what they call it, lantern diffuser. So basically, rather than using our regular kind of cone-shaped diffuser, which is kind of pushing all the light in one direction.
Right.
You know, it's not as even. We now have this lantern that is giving us nice, even light.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one light in here now. Instead of having to lug in both of our lights and dealing with cameras, now we have one. We actually just ordered another Aperture 120D. And so we might end up kind of leaving it on the boom and kind of having that for background of videos for like fill lights and other main channel videos.
It's very nice.
But then just kind of leave it. It's such a like even, like warm light diffused this way.
Looks good.
It looks so cool. So I keep looking up at it. My face is.
It's just a different vibe. It feels very
different
here.
Yeah, it's like a
it's
little.
Fresh. It's different.
I don't know.
I like it.
It feels.
It makes sense today. Today's
a
good day.
Today is a great day. Today is a great
very
day.
Very good day.
We're going to get to that in a minute. But. So that's new. Really stoked on this look. I'm really liking this. We're continuing to evolve the podcast video component. We wanted to just do it. When Andy came on board, we said, hey, look, we've been talking about doing this. Let's do it. Let's figure it out.
Right.
And so we kind of just got rolling with the gear we had, and obviously now we can start to make some adjustments. And for anybody that is watching on YouTube right now, make sure to go down there and give us a thumbs up if you like this sort of content.
Yeah.
Click subscribe.
Share it.
Share it with your friends, your family, your grandma, anybody.
No, your grandma will not like this.
She might.
She might probably think that we're annoying.
She might be like, these old young bucks over here talking about, well, I don't know why your grandma's from Central Kentucky, but
from the south somewhere. I'm trying to get on here and see how many subscribers we got. And we need to
try to encourage people to subscribe to this channel. We have a clips channel as well. You can go check that out, where we do kind of shorter pieces, segments from this show. So we do this whole show, but then we pull maybe a, you know, 8 minute, 10 minute Ooh, segment out
only
of the middle.
7 away from 300.
Ooh, I love it. I love it.
To be fair, I mean, we've got our last podcast last week got 6,500
yes,
views in a week,
which is amazing. Yeah, thanks to cool. everyone who watched it. That's so cool.
I mean, it's we didn't know. We just had no idea if this would do anything.
And we've tested putting it on the website using the Azoic Player, which we might go back to now that they've made some updates. But we're going to continue to publish here on YouTube. Like this is always going to be published here. So make sure to subscribe. Hit the notification bell so that you get a notification when we publish. We normally put these out on Friday or Saturday. And so there's that. Next thing is, if you've been to our website in the last 6 months or a year, maybe you didn't notice. I don't know. We noticed. But it wasn't the fastest.
No.
And we have ads, obviously. And so the ads load in. But in all honesty, we had kind of been getting by with I don't want to call it subpar hosting. I don't know if we've ever said the name of the company. Not trying to roast them at all, but we had grown to a point that I don't think they could really support anymore.
And I don't think they were interested in it.
Yeah,
WordPress
hosting's a different beast, and
we found them, and that's what they did.
Yeah,
and you know, they had some notable sites at the time. I remember specifically because they hosted John Mayer's official website, and I'm like, they can host John Mayer, they can host us. Sure. It's fine. But now when you go to their website, there's nothing about WordPress hosting at all. They've kind of gotten into some other stuff on the server side of things. And I just think, we were kind of there, and I don't think they were going to push us out the door. But
right.
I don't know. I just got the sense that there wasn't a whole lot of attention being paid to our type of needs.
And we just didn't have the support level that we needed. You know, when we did have issues, if you all have ever gotten an error when you've tried to come to our website.
Origin errors. You probably have gotten an origin error.
And I hate that. Like, I hate that folks that are trying to come to our website to consume content that we're putting out there aren't maybe seeing our website when they type in chromeandbox.com. And so we thought we maybe had a solution. We tried it. It didn't work. And so for the past couple weeks, we've been, we have been grinding on website hosting and trying to figure out a better solution. And really at this point, really going all in and really doing our research, figuring out what options are out there, figuring out what we actually need long-term from a partner. As of Monday, if you come to our website, you might notice that it is snappy fast.
Real quick.
Very, very speedy.
Real, real quick. And especially for our Patreon, this is not a shameless plug, but
yes,
you know,
is.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Okay, shameless. Because I don't feel any shame.
Patreon.com/chromeandbox.
Our patrons are awesome. Our Patreon community is so fun.
It's the best.
Like, yeah, I mean, we're interacting in there all the time, and it's so cool.
Every day.
And again, I guess it's not, I say it not a shameless plug because it's not like we said, at that point, let's say something about Patreon. Like,
right, yeah.
It really just like, you know, from my heart, like I just enjoy hanging out in there when I have time and just interacting and the conversations that go on that have nothing to do with us even.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 100%. Like, this is great. It's fantastic. But those folks have ad-free access to the site as well. So even at the lowest $2 a month tier, they can jump in and have ad-free access. So you take the ads out of this thing, and we all know ads, you know, they take a toll as far as loading. The site is like instantaneous.
Oh, it's insanely fast now.
You're logged in. It's so fast.
It's the best.
That was the worst part for us before, because the way that we were leveraging our CDN, which is a content delivery network, if you're not familiar with that, Cloudflare is probably the most well-known company that does something like that. Basically, they just store your site in a bunch of servers all over the planet, so that anyone that's trying to access your site has got a close enough server so that it doesn't feel like it's on the other side of the world. The way we were leveraging that was through our ad partner, Azoic. What we needed to do was basically turn all that stuff off on the backside so that when people were logged in via Patreon or for us even, they weren't seeing those ads.
Yeah.
Well, that also meant we didn't get all the Cloudflare stuff either. And so when we would log in, we would actually feel the speed of our server and know it was even slower.
It was rough.
Than people looking at it with ads, which is unfortunate because that means that our patrons were, even though they weren't having to deal with ads, the site was still a little, to me, it was a little sluggish. And again, like Joe said, maybe no one knew, noticed. Yeah. I don't know. But I know we all noticed once we turned the switch on this Monday morning just stepped on the, or I guess it was Tuesday morning, technically. Wasn't it? It was supposed to be Monday. It was supposed to be Monday.
Oh, yeah, because we
Monday
stayed
evening
and
was going to be
thing. we were staying and hanging out Monday ended up doing it. Yeah.
It wasn't an issue migration-wise. It was a miscalculation on my part.
Queuing. Queuing of, because they.
Because our first migration went through almost immediately, and I was like, I can just wait until 4 and tell them to do it. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, there's a bunch in front of you, but we'll get to it, you know, and they got to it at about 3 a.m.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we got to say the service, the folks that we ended up going with, and we did a ton of research. We had several calls
onboarding
with people, trying to figure out, you know, all right, we need this. Because a lot of these websites will have, these services will have all these crazy plans for all these different installs, and they're almost made for like agencies and stuff. We don't need all that. We just needed, you know, the bandwidth for page views, basically. And found Kensta. They came recommended from Azoic. Come to find out, they are a seamless integration partner with Azoic. They have several blog posts on their website talking about how to set up Azoic on your website with Kensta.
And it's worth noting that because Azoic, the way that Azoic does their kind of AI machine learning ad platform that's done on a server level, like this gets nerdy real quick, but like because of the way they do that, a lot of hosts don't want to figure out, you know, how to make things work with them.
Yeah.
And so we've had, we worked with WP Engine years ago.
Yep.
And you know, Joe was familiar with them as a company way back, like early enough that I remember him telling me a story about, you know, calling support and the guy was finished. He's like, hold on, let me finish my dishes.
Hold on. Hey, man, can you give me a second? I got to finish my dishes.
Like they were little. And this is back when he first came on to at HCC, our former employer. And so we eventually ended up migrating all of that hosting. And that was, at the time, about 100 sites.
100 sites, yeah.
We moved over. It was a pain in the butt, but, got them all over. And then, you know, every site that I would build, I built in WordPress Engine. Like And so I was kind of there in the middle from them going from being little to where they kind of are now. They're technically the number one WordPress.
I think by volume of sites,
Boutique, so it's WordPress hosting.
For managed WordPress hosting,
And so, you know, if you don't know anything about that, too, like that's worth noting. Like WordPress powers, last I saw, I think 38%, I think was the number, 36. It's over a third. I know it was over a third of all sites on the internet. That's a mind-boggling statistic that is worth me stopping to look at. Let's see.
Yeah.
What percent?
It's such an easy platform and such a great platform to build on. Robbie's.
My.
Well, what is it?
43 now.
Wow. That's insane.
You know what's fun? And I was going to say this, but I have so much to say about all this. The statistic comes via Kinsta's blog.
I love it.
And that's
what
I was going to say. Like,
I love it. So
I realized once we started shopping that I've referenced Kinsta's blog countless times, like trying to figure out stuff with hosting, trying to figure out stuff with WordPress or Google services or all sorts of things. Like, and I realized I just thought they were just another host, like a hosting company, like big, you know, like a Bluehost kind of situation.
Yeah.
Like we're just a host, whatever, you know, host your stuff here. I'd never looked into them as a company. I've just been on their blog constantly because
we'll get some screen recording of their site on the video here because it's
all their
so
site. Everything
fantastic.
They do is buttoned up and well done.
Well, another shameless plug here, but they have an affiliate program.
Right.
And we love doing affiliate programs with brands that we legitimately to recommend and that we love and that I cannot begin to tell you all how much of a relief this has all been.
I was
like holding my breath early in the week. I'm not really holding my breath anymore because it's been so solid. But we've had so many issues with hosting that this transition has just been incredible. And we want to recommend them to anybody because they have plans for freelancers and
I pulled up, like,
you know,
you can
small
do a single WordPress install with, honestly, it's 25,000 visits a month. Like that's way more than most.
Quite a bit for most people.
Most people need for $30 a month.
Yeah.
And you're still going to get all the awesome stuff, the free migration.
The support.
The customer service with them.
Good gosh.
They offer one tier of customer support. So you'll never talk to, like, we'd gone to DreamHost as a part of our transition. So I guess. Let's back up. Let me finish that whole thing. And so back when we were with HCC, you know, we got really familiar with WordPress Engine, and I always loved them. I thought their product was great. They kept updating it.
Great dashboard.
Yeah.
Great
they did features. Things so much better than anybody else, because nobody was really doing WordPress hosting.
Yeah, backups.
WordPress at that time was probably more like a 20%, 25% of the internet kind of thing. Still a ton. I mean, but nobody had thought about, like, ooh, you know, there's one-click installs. Like Bluehost, you know, you can install WordPress, but they weren't experts on WordPress.
Right.
And, you know, WordPress is a platform at the end of the day. It is a PHP platform. And so it's got some of its own rules and some of its own ways it does things. And so WordPress Engine was like this revelation. It's like, oh, the people I'm talking to in support actually understand WordPress.
Yeah.
They're not just running servers.
Right.
Like if you go install, you can go install WordPress on a Google Cloud server or Amazon, AWS or whatever, but there's no one there to help you with anything. And hosting and servers, that's a whole nother realm of
like
technical knowledge that most people, I don't have it.
Like, yeah, I mean, I just don't. And we've grown to the point where we almost, like, we were at this point where we're like, we either need to, like, hire somebody that's going to do this and help us with this ongoing, or we, you know,
we need to pay for somebody who does it.
Through somebody who does this and a team. And that's what we're getting with Kensa. Like, I really do feel like we've got that finally, like that long-term partner.
Right.
And So that
sort of thing is what we started to see with WordPress Engine. As Chrome Unboxed started to grow, you know, we made a deal with HCC. They had a, you know, X amount of installs or whatever.
Agency account.
Like, hey, we'll just jump on here. And they're like, yeah, it's cool. And, really realizing that it, the way that they do stuff is they have these levels, and they still do this after we talk to them as a potential move. They still have levels. Kinsta does too. Like their servers are built out in levels. And so the server, if the more traffic, the server is just getting destroyed with stuff. Imagine logging in just for a second. Think about, you got a nice powerful laptop and it's awesome. Well, what if somebody could take a keyboard mouse and they could log in on their account also and be just, you know, checking some email or whatever, but then another person, and then, oh, you just tagged on 150 people at the same time, all just, you know, they're just checking an email, just doing a couple things. You think that computer might run into some trouble? Absolutely. Like, it's going to have trouble doing that. And that's what happens with servers. People forget these. Our website's just sitting on a hard drive
in a shed
or something.
Yep.
You know, it's probably like a big building, but, you know, whatever. I like to
hopefully it's very secure.
A crusty wooden shed. It's probably redundant in a couple different places, but, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, it's still, even with Cloudflare, it's still a set of servers in a rack that run Linux and are serving up the stuff that people came in to look for.
Yep.
So it's still a computer that's getting a user hooked into it and doing something on it. So the more you get, the more resources you need. So they have these levels, you know, they P1, P2 and stuff like that with WordPress Engine. And so I don't remember what server set they were on, but, you know, at the time, I want to say we had gotten up to like 120, 130 installs. And these are all small websites, local, but we're starting to cause problems.
So, as we started to grow.
Yeah, the guys were like, there's this one website on here that's really killing your servers. And
they're taking up 95% of your bandwidth.
Yeah, it's probably our fault. Oops. So eventually, obviously, we knew it was time to go. And then, you know, we made our move professionally to move away from HCC. And so as we did that, clearly we had to take our website and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
At the time, WordPress Engine really hadn't thought through how to host sites like ours.
Yeah.
And so when we priced it out, it was egregious.
Yeah.
Like, it was thousands of dollars
yeah.
a month. And it was like, at that time, for sure, even now, I would be like, if that's what we had to do, it's what we do. But it didn't feel like we had to do that. So we started searching for, boutique, small, you know, WordPress Engine or WordPress hosting in the company that we came across before. Hey, we can say who it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're out of this game anyway.
Yeah,
and they've been great. They really have. 45 Air was their name, and most people don't know about them, and they're small. Like, the tech guys I ever talked with, maybe two guys, I think, over our years with them.
Right.
Anyway, so we found them. The price was decent, and again, they hosted John Mayer's site, so I was like, it's gotta be
that was
gotta be legit.
That was why that was the Robbie really went with them. That was the whole reason.
But still, even at that point, there weren't that many. Like Kinsta didn't exist at that time, and there weren't that many WordPress specific hosting services,
like managed hosting, where you have a team of people kind of doing it all for you and everything.
So I was like, these seem okay. So we migrated. Actually, we migrated to Ezoic first. They were doing a hosting thing. Like, they were trying out hosting. Yeah. I think they still
do it. They still do it for, like, much smaller publishers. Yeah.
And again, I don't think they understood either. Like, most of these hosting places don't end up hosting something like what we do. Yeah. You're going through a big managed hosting company, or you hire somebody to, hey, we need you. You're our hosting guy. Set up AWS or set up Google Cloud.
Yep.
And build out our servers, and you're going to handle it. When we have issues, we're going to call you. Exactly. Like, you're a guy. And that's what a lot of these places do. And so it's not out of the question. We may end up doing that down the road.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
We did the Ezoic thing. It was a huge bomb.
Yeah. Website was down for
like a
beta.
It was beta on their end, too. Yeah. And I don't think Ezoic was young, too, when we started with them.
Sure.
So they were kind of going through some growing pains. It was a voyage of discovery. And then we ended up at 45 Air, and we stayed with them for years.
Yeah.
Not thinking about the fact that it probably wasn't premium.
Yeah.
And we grew through that, and we've grown a lot since we started with them. Like, our numbers are very different.
Yeah.
And clearly they've moved away from, like, if you go to their site now, there's nothing about WordPress hosting at all. That's all it was when we started. So, you know, Ray is the guy that I've, worked with there, and he was always super helpful. But, they didn't have, like, a chat set up or a team. It was always just
Ray. Send an email. Yeah.
Super knowledgeable. Knew what he was doing. But, their stuff wasn't really set up to do what Ezoic wanted them to do. And so there was always this kind of push and pull between the two. And, Ezoic's a longtime partner with us now. And so it's like, we can't just be like, we'll just leave Ezoic and we'll stick with you guys.
Figure out something else. Yeah.
So it was always this push and pull, and it's our fault, it's their fault, it's, all this stuff. And we realized as we started doing this transition, we did jump to DreamHost last week because we were like, oh, this should work, because they're one of the ones that, a lot of people that use Ezoic have DreamHost. And DreamHost is a big company, but they're more like a really big Bluehost type thing. They host all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Including WordPress,
and they're not as focused on what we need yet.
And so we jumped over to that, and they're a big company, and they really kind of sold us down the river. So I don't have any problem.
Yeah, it was
saying
not good.
Bad things about them.
It was not good.
I got in a chat and said, "Hey, here's our traffic. Here's what we deal with, and here's tell me what product you have that would fit this." They told us, we signed up for it.
Yeah.
We migrated the site, and it was pretty rocky.
Yep.
The migration was, it wasn't real clear on their back end. They kind of have like the managed back end, but it was a little bit like Bluehost and a little wonky. And, you get into a chat, and clearly the chat guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. And so he passed you off to somebody else, and, and things just were not going well, like constant. It was trouble. Like, things were not good. And so I get an email chat with this other person, and he was upset that we had all this traffic coming from these four or five IPs, which I tried to explain to him. We're using Cloudflare. That's how that works.
That's how it works. And we don't have one thing.
And it's real scary to me that you don't understand that as the technician that's supposed to be helping me. And I'm having to explain to you that, we have five or six IPs that are hitting your server with tons of traffic. When you're trying to tell me it's bot traffic, and I'm trying to tell you, I told you up front that this is how much traffic we get. And then I get into another chat later because this guy didn't help.
Bad, dude.
And I'm typing.
Oh, it's been so stressful.
And he says, "So how much traffic does your site get?" And I roll my eyes because I'm going, I've told you all this multiple times. So I give him our numbers, and he sits there for a second and then just responds, ... Wow. And I don't know if that was, wow, good job, congratulations,
or uh-oh,
what have we done?
Yep.
And he clearly tells me the thing that we're on with them has no ability to handle this sort of traffic, and that's why our site's dying. I'm like, I know. Like, I've been trying to tell you all. So I don't know if they didn't believe me when I told them that we had this traffic. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was.
Oh, man.
And so at that point, they referenced a standalone server solution, and I just didn't feel very confident that they knew what they were doing and that they were going to help us and that they were going to work well with Ezoic. And then here, we have a call scheduled with WP Engine that we take. It was the day of my daughter's surgery. She had her tonsils taken out. Like, it was this whole, like, one thing on top of another. And then you were like, I think I'm still going to call and tap and talk with Kinsta. And
I think we still need to reach out to everybody, you know.
And so I was like, yeah, I kind of forgot about them a little bit, you know. But I looked at their packages, and looking at their packages, I'm like, it's going to be really expensive. But we knew WordPress Engine would be super expensive, but it was more of a known entity.
Right.
But the problem was they weren't clear that they would for sure work with Azoic.
Oh, yeah, like, I think we can figure it out. And we were like, no. We need some reassurance here.
For this kind of money.
Yeah, we need to know for a fact this is going to work.
And Kinsta not only was like, of course we can. They're like, we have blog posts about it.
And we're a seamless integration partner, right. One of like six, you know?
The awesome thing now is when I talk to Kinsta and say, Azoic, blah, 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 they're like, yeah, you should probably go and do da-da-da in your Azoic dashboard. Like, they know Azoic. They already know what's going on. And I'm like,
so awesome. For anyone out there who maybe is using Azoic, who has WordPress.
Azoic's got tens of thousands of publishers that they work with.
You need to very seriously consider this. And even if you're not using Azoic, again, we recommend them for anybody that has a website, a WordPress website. You know, if you're a freelancer and you've got, you know, a simple portfolio type website, like this is such a good platform. And again, like, you know, we do affiliate stuff with people that we legitimately recommend. I mean, Fresh Roasted Coffee, prime example. You know?
And we haven't even talked about all the benefits that come with this.
My gosh,
like,
dude.
I was able to turn off all these goofy plugins that we've had to use for security and all this kind of stuff because they take care of that on a server level. And the migration isn't a plugin. It's not like, oh, run this plugin and punch in this stuff.
It's going to pull this database and plop it over here.
We gave them our cPanel information for our old host.
And a person.
Said, okay, let me know when you're done. And they went through and hand migrated our site for us.
Which, we have thousands of pages, posts,
Thousands of posts. We have tens of thousands of images.
Media, yeah.
Pieces of media, and then which means our databases are vast. And so they did all of it, twice. They did it the first time so that we could kick the tires, and then they did a secondary migration to pull the, you know, there was a little bit of a gap between testing and you know, the site actually going live. And so it's like, cool, we're going to cut off here, bring over all the rest of. And if you've ever migrated any website, but WordPress specifically, and dealt with, you know, there's the files that are in the FTP, and then there's that stuff. But then there's also the databases, and making sure that that stuff is connected, it can get hairy. I mean, it's not just like, oh, you know, copy paste. It's not that simple all the time, and you can easily run into problems.
Oh yeah, yes.
And so, you know,
having someone do it, like
letting
white glove.
Them do it, and they looked at it, and like, we're
and that was like that was a premium thing that we got as part of our package because you know we're on a higher tier.
The $30 says free migrations.
No way, that's dope. So you might get like one premium, but I think it was like $100 or something to do an extra token.
Yeah,
whatever.
I think we just got extra tokens.
Yeah,
I think probably just get like, one.
I just can't recommend
but everything that we've done with them is so good. And they're more than anything, it's the customer service. Like being able to jump in, I could jump in right now
and
hop in a chat.
The resources too, like their blog and everything and how useful. Yeah. It's like, kind of part of customer service.
This, check this. We already did a post explaining all this. Go check that out. If you have any questions after that, cool, let me know.
Exactly. So that was part of the process of these phone calls. And so, you know, our salesperson that we're talking to, John was his name. Shout out to that guy. Just did a fantastic job helping us through the process and not being super salesy and just being super helpful, being candid about, you know, limitations and being upfront about, hey, we can do this or, you know, we might need to add this to make sure that like just very upfront. And I remember we had the call. We were sitting down at lunch, I guess. I don't remember. We were sitting down at Impella's Aries. Was it Impella's Aries? I don't know. And I remember getting the email and I was like, dude, look at this. Not only do
they were over JR's.
Yeah, not only do they work with Azoic, they have three blog posts right here talking about the partnership, talking about their integration thing, talking about how to integrate, you know, Azoic with Kinsta. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. And yeah, again.
Great. I'm just looking through the dashboard real quick to make sure I'm mentioning everything.
Yeah.
They have a built-in CDN. So they have Cloudflare as part of their platform. Again, ours might come with that. Maybe some of the others don't. I'm not sure. But, you know, we were leveraging CDN through Azoic. And, you know, if you think about it, they've got so many clients. Like, that some are WordPress and some are not, and some are this and some are on this host and some are on that. Right. So the CDN's got to be a little bit more generic for that. This CDN is set up and built and ready to go with Kinsta's servers.
This and server only Kinsta and WordPress. Servers.
Yeah. And so there we get to use their CDN. So I was able to turn that Cloudflare stuff on Ezoic off and use Kinsta's instead, which is awesome. 99.99% security guarantee there. So I got rid of those plugins. Daily backups. I create manual backups. Yep. I keep up to 5 manual. So I could do 5 back-to-back manual backups just sitting there before I have to delete one of those. Downloadable backups. So I went ahead and downloaded our site and backed it up and threw it in the cloud so that it's just there in case
something ever happens. Yep.
Yeah, some of those files are there.
I think they guarantee or they try to do a 2-minute response time with customer service.
Yeah, and they on your dashboard, there's just a chat. There's always someone there, and if they have to step away, they'll say, hey, I'm stepping away. I'm handing you off to so-and-so. Yeah. I'll be back in probably 30 minutes, so if you'd like to come back to me, that's fine. Let them know. If not, literally doesn't matter what person I'm with. Every one of them has been expert-level knowledge. Again, there's no tier one, tier two, tier three. You're always getting tier three. Yeah. You're getting the expert every time.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, obviously we're really excited about this just from a business standpoint, but from a user standpoint, I hope that you all will maybe notice a little bit faster page loads. We've had people say, sometimes that, the page is loading in slow or whatever. And I don't want that to ever be an issue. With this solution moving forward, I think we're in a place now where you click anything on our website, you're going to get right to what you need. And I cannot tell you all how stoked we are on this. So I think we set up our account with them, our affiliate stuff. And that was the other thing. I filled out the affiliate stuff and they are like, hey, welcome to the Affiliate Academy. Here's a bunch of resources. Here's all kinds of stuff about affiliate marketing. Not necessarily just for us, but here's 5 things you need to know in 2022 about affiliate marketing. Here's this. Just very awesome, very straightforward. And definitely recommend them. If you have a website that's WordPress, we would definitely recommend checking them out.
I just wanted to try this live because I do have a question. Our Google Analytics has been a little it's working. It's being weird.
Yeah.
And working. Ezoic's analytics are fine. So I don't sometimes analytics just does this. Has a couple days where it's crazy. I don't know. But I needed to ask. And so I was like, let's just test that 2-minute time real quick. I finished typing. You probably would have seen me done typing. They're typing back to me already.
Love it. So it's so great.
Just ready to answer questions and always thorough. I'm sure most of you have probably dealt with situations where you have, I have customer support, and you go to type and they just want to dismiss you. I don't know. It's probably not us though. So go away. This guy, I guarantee you, whoever I get connected with here, they'll look into this or they'll give me something to think about, or they'll try to figure something out. Yeah. They're not just going to dismiss me.
Yeah.
So,
big shout out to them. Hopefully we'll get all of our affiliate account set up, and we'll make sure to drop some links down in the show notes. If anybody is interested, you should definitely go check it out. Okay. We're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we're going to come back, talk about a little bit of news and some really cool web development. So stay tuned. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, NORD. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's C A MEYO.com/unboxed or click the link down in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. So, as promised, we're gonna dig into a couple news things here. First one, let's just chat this one. We've got a new video that'll be coming out very soon.
Yep.
Probably be out. Yeah, we'll get that out before we publish the podcast because it's done.
Yeah.
But talking about a new feature, not necessarily even
updated feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, updated
enhanced.
Feature. Enhanced.
I like the word enhanced.
Enhanced. Yeah.
In fact, I might put that in the title.
Feature in Chrome OS 100. So are you just referring to it as dictation? Does it have a fancy name?
No, it's part of the accessibility setting still, yeah. Technically. The dictation for accessibility, I don't know how long it's been around. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
My wife uses it all the time. Like, she keeps it on her Chromebook so she can just talk, say whatever, respond to a message,
yeah.
Writing emails, whatever. I don't use it at the office that often because it's not Google Assistant, so it's not going to be specific to my voice. Like, if I'm dictating something to Google Assistant, people can talk around me and it just kind of drowns them out. It doesn't care. It's just listening for my voice. This is not that. Like,
yeah.
I was using it earlier when I was writing the post to do it, and we're watching the Masters, and it was picking up the commentators, right in the post. And so it's going to pick up
anything
it thinks is something that someone is trying to say. It's going to try to put it on the screen. But it does exactly what you would expect. It's a dictation feature. It's meant for people who have accessibility issues and maybe can't type that well or can't type at all. This is a way that you can get text from speech onto the screen.
Yep.
And it works in any text field. It's part of the OS. So anywhere you can click a mouse cursor into, you can dictate the text that will go into that space.
Yeah.
Works offline. So you download the English dictionary if you speak English or I didn't look to see how many languages they have in there.
Yeah.
But you get your language in there and it does all this stuff on device. So it's not sending stuff to the server constantly. And so it's been a cool feature for that, but that's been a very blunt type of thing. You know, it's like, say text shows up, you can speak some punctuation, that's about it. Like, that's what it's there for. It's a functional thing. And so this update in M100 brings the ability for dictation to have some commands that you can speak into it. Stuff like new line or next. Is it new line or next? I think
yeah,
it's new line.
New line. Yeah.
New line. You can just say delete. You can say undo, redo.
Select all.
Unselect.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Backspace, I think, or delete. You can do delete. So it'll delete just one character. And so you imagine yourself, you're like, hey, I'm going to dictate a document. Or I'm going to dictate an email.
Yeah.
You could type your punctuation in, but at some point you're going to have to reach up there and hit return and kind of move some stuff around. I need to select, cut, copy, paste, all works.
Yeah.
So now technically you could stand back and, say blah, 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 whatever you want to say, speak all your stuff in and say new line. It'll pop down to the new line. Keep going. There's a shortcut for it. I didn't realize until this. I don't know if the shortcut's new or if it's been around the entire time. But once you've turned this on in your settings, you can just go to settings and search dictation, just flip the switch, turn it on. You hit the everything key in D, and the mic will spring to life, and it's listening. So, and it'll keep listening until you kind of, if you change focus away from the window, or start something else, it'll turn off. But apart from that, it's going to keep listening, and it kept doing it while we were filming.
Robbie was trying to talk
trying to get the featured image, and I'm just trying to say something into a doc, and Joe's over here talking to Andrew about something completely different, and it kept just putting all his words in there too. Anytime I'd break it, would you stop talking for a minute?
I may or may not have cursed, and we realized that it doesn't pick up.
It does.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It missed it for you, the first one, but then I said some wordy dirds into it, and it picked them all up just fine. So if you like to color your language with such things, it will do that as well. But yeah, it's a super handy tool. Yeah. So it was a functional tool that's, I don't know, a little more operational now. Like, it feels like it's cool because as you're talking now too, there's a little text bubble that pops up and it fills. And when you stop for just a second, it pops all that text in. So you can kind of look at it while you're typing all of it. And you don't feel like, oh, I got to keep talking or else it's going to turn off. It's not going to turn off. It's going to stay on until you disable it. And so you can talk, gather your thoughts.
Yeah.
New line. And select all, delete.
Yeah.
Select all, cut.
Yeah.
start talking. Like, it's so it's pretty cool. I could see them adding more features to it, and I could see at some point them like tying this into the Google Assistant.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
sort of Gboard style. It feels a lot like the way that now with Gboard, when you turn, at least on Pixel phones, you turn the assistant dictation thing on in Gboard, it just stays on and keeps listening until you tell it to stop, which is nice, because I don't know, that used to be a little exhausting to me. Like, I can't stop talking or it's going to stop listening. Then I gotta, especially if you're trying to drive, you know, if like now I can just hit the button and keep driving and talk and think and then say what I need to say and then hit send and, you know, cross my fingers and hope it got most of it. It's still text-to-speech.
I need to go in and change, because they've added the stuff. They added this a while ago. I just still haven't done it. I noticed one of my messages I sent the other day, Robbie with an IE, and they've changed that where you can go in and
you can actually define those
things. A couple of your contacts that you know maybe have unique spelling or just something like Robbie with IE instead of Y.
And it can't get it still has a hard time. The dictation thing on the Chromebook really does, but Google Assistant can't deal with Ezoic. I get so many different weird stuff for Ezoic when I say Ezoic.
It's like, we don't know that word.
Ezoic.
It's a made up word.
Ease, and then OIK.
You just ease. Made up.
Yeah, you got hair.
I had a hair. It was like tickling my lip as I was talking.
Stop it, sure.
Quit it.
You're getting me.
This is what happens when Gabe's not here.
it's just a cool feature that it was one of those ones that was in the announcement. I'm like, oh, neat dictation commands, whatever. And then for some reason, I was like, I need to try this for something, and tried it. And I was like, holy crap,
this is like really good.
Really good. And to the point where it's like, this is like a standout feature, I think for Chrome OS 100.
I think folks who work in like professional services, I don't know, like I think about my brother who he's got a little recorder thing that he uses to dictate all of his, after a case. Yeah, after a case or after he's in court for a while, he'll just do notes that way. And then, you know, his whoever he has help him with that stuff will copy it and make sure it's all good
just
and everything.
Tell him about recorder on your Pixel.
Yeah.
I know he's an Apple guy, right?
Yeah.
I got this Apple
look
on my
at this,
phone.
And it does a really good transcript, cool too. The transcripts on the recorders are pretty nice. But anywho, I think about lawyers or people like that could really use this. Or just, like you said, like, Trisha using it at home, just, hey, I want to send an email real quick. I'm just going to sit here and press it, sit and talk, add in your punctuation as you're talking, which most of us are used to doing if you've used the assistant before it started adding all of the punctuation for you. I still do it a lot of times because it's not great.
It adds periods. And
I like to know, especially if I'm driving or something, like you said, I want to kind of know where it's putting the punctuation. Very cool feature. Very cool feature. Definitely something to go check out. Go check out our video. We'll make sure to link it. And just give it a try on your Chromebook. That's, you can turn it on, turn it off. And if you don't like it, nix it and who cares? Yep. Move on. One other piece of news, and then we've got some kind of fun thing we want to chat about. I don't know who dug it up. Where'd the original news come from? I want
to
give them credit.
9 to 5.
Okay, cool. 9 to 5. Google found...
9 to 5 Google found it in an APK.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from.
Yeah, so a new Nest... is it just a regular Nest?
Just Nest Wi-Fi.
Just Nest Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But they're adding Wi-Fi 6.
Yeah, so let's see. Let me read this specifically. Michael's the one that reported on this one. APK Insights, Deep Dive. Google could have a brand new Nest or Google Wi-Fi, so it could be either one. I kind of hope it's just Google Wi-Fi. The differentiation between the two didn't make any sense to me.
We figured out Kenny's issue. He had the pucks plugged in, and for some reason, that was completely throwing off the setup. As soon as he unplugged the pucks, the extra ones, and we had it just the one plugged in, worked fine.
And is it Nest or is it Google Wi-Fi?
That one was Nest. It's the rounded one, yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange.
And I get it. Like, I get Google wanting to, like, Nest is kind of home stuff, you know? They've got now Nest, audio. You got Nest,
and it has the speaker built in.
It makes sense, but at the same time, like, Google Wi-Fi was fine.
Yeah, I know.
And then they re-released Google Wi-Fi in 2019, which is super weird.
Very strange.
And I thought they were going to do that and put Michael talks about this in the article. I thought they were going to do that and put Wi-Fi 6 in it, which would have been awesome. But code name Sirocco, Sirocco. Michael found this, which refers to, quote, a hot wind, often dusty or rainy, blowing in from North Africa across the Mediterranean to Southern Europe. You were just talking about Africa, Andy Cam. Yeah, so I've not been to Africa. Have you been to Africa?
No, I almost went to...
You said it was really awesome, right?
It was really awesome. We actually went in June of 2019, and everybody said, oh, it's going to be so hot. But Southern Hemisphere, where we went, so it was actually winter there.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect weather.
That's amazing. Awesome. Whenever I was studying abroad, we almost went to Northern Africa for a trip. But that was during a lot of the turmoil in Egypt and everything going on. And so they were like, we were talking to some locals about it, and they were like, I don't know that Americans should go gallivanting around over there right now, because we were going to go to Morocco, or I don't remember where we were going to go. And they were like, you probably shouldn't go.
Yeah, my dad was there in January of 2019 in Zimbabwe, and there was some uprising happening with some gas stuff.
Yeah.
And then the day after we left, they stopped accepting foreign currency. Like, it was...
Whoa.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Not that part. But
yeah.
Yeah. So...
But there you go.
So, yeah, the term makes sense. It falls in line with previous branding. Because the Wi-Fis always are termed with like wind type things. So the Google Wi-Fi, Nest Wi-Fi, their code names are also all wind weather type things. So, yeah. So the code name makes sense. Let's see. Yeah. And so none of Google stuff, as good as their routers are, which are still fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
Like we have one at our house, you know, and we have three levels. We live on two of the levels, but I just never really have to worry about Wi-Fi. I almost never reset my router.
I remember.
We almost never do it here, and there's so many devices connected to it.
I had
here.
One of those built-in, the router modem combo things that they rented for.
So bad.
Where was
Comcast?
It was Comcast up in Louisville, and there was like, I mean, it was like their support was so bad. It was like a meme almost, like how bad. You know, you would have to sit and wait, or, you know, they would be like, hey, we're going to come hook up your internet. We'll be there sometime in the next 3 days. If you're not there, we're going to charge we're going to charge you a fine.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Man, those built-in boxes are always awful.
But I had to reset that
reset
thing.
Reset them constantly.
Oh my, it was like, I mean, I'm not kidding.
Every day
once,
or two.
Once a week it felt like.
Yeah. Ours was terrible. And so now not having to deal with that anymore. And even here at the office, we have fiber, so there's not even a modem box or anything.
Yeah.
There's a line that comes in from the wall, and you plug it into the thing and go.
Yeah.
But missing Wi-Fi 6 at this point now is starting to feel like a problem.
Yeah,
and to clear it up, like with Wi-Fi 6, the throughput speed on Wi-Fi 6 is higher for a host of reasons. But it's not wildly higher. It's not like, oh, Wi-Fi 5 to Wi-Fi 6 is all of a sudden the throughput's going to be just crazy and everything's going to be so much faster. Wi-Fi 6 has just a better ability to handle multiple devices.
Right.
So used to it be like, well, in an office setting, Wi-Fi 6 is better. Forget that. Like at your home, too. I mean, sit for a second, if you will, with me. Think about all the things just in your house that are connected to the Wi-Fi. Just think about it.
Looking around us right now. I mean,
there's multiple things just in this room right here. In our office here, I mean, I want to say at all times, there's 25 to 35
devices
always. Yeah, I was
going to say we had 30-something devices connected, which is
and
wild.
And that's when not everybody's here, not everybody's stuff's here. But you think, you walk in, you've got your Chromebook, you've got your phone, maybe a watch, maybe a tablet. You know, you brought in three or four connections when you walked in the door, much less all the smart speakers, all the smart sensors and cameras and
TVs.
All that stuff. And they're all hitting this one modem. And even though it's got plenty of throughput, it's maybe not as smart at handling how to deal with those things and really hand out Wi-Fi the right way to everything. Wi-Fi 6 fixes a lot of that. It's made for that. It's really what the whole upgrade to Wi-Fi 6, why it was important. And, you know, we talked about it a lot for Chromebooks, getting Wi-Fi 6 with 10th, 11th, and now 12th gen Intel processors, yada, yada, yada. So it's an important upgrade, and it's one that every once in a while I'll remember, like when the Wi-Fi is being a little dumb, I'm like, oh yeah, this is still Wi-Fi 5, man. Like we need to move up. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes,
I don't know. I'm trying to see. Let's see. I don't know if there's any timeline specifically for this.
That could be a fun I/O announcement.
Yeah, it would make total sense at I/O.
They've done some other Nest stuff.
I think the original Google Wi-Fi was I/O. The Nest was at the 2018 Google event. It was the one with the Pixel Slate.
Oh, yep.
2018.
Yep. Because they had there. Those. They had those little in the room. Remember, they had the little things, and it was
dope. Good. Like Nest Wi-Fi is good.
I could not think of that.
I don't think Nest Wi-Fi is any better than Google Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's much of a difference there. Yeah. You know, whether they stick with Nest or Google, it doesn't matter if it gets Wi-Fi. If they keep what they've done with these routers and then add Wi-Fi 6 to it, they're just going to be fantastic. Yeah. And I don't think it's an if. It's for sure they're doing that. So it's a matter of when. When's it going to come
out? Like you said, it's a little overdue, honestly. And again, like you said, just think about how many devices you have in your house connected at all times.
Like,
Wi-Fi, the way that we use Wi-Fi has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. So this is a big update, so it'll be cool to see that roll out. So let's chat about our last kind of fun thing. Something that you know, we have a tendency sometimes to talk about golf maybe a little too much.
We have held back for quite
I forget
a
who it was.
Number
it was,
of episodes.
It was maybe Chris or somebody in
pretty sure it's Chris
in Patreon. We did a whole video about
we talked so much about it for a little bit there
on the podcast, and then we did a behind the scenes video about it too, and he was like, all right guys, hey, enough with the golf talk.
Right. Not all of us are into golf. I'm like, that's fair,
but
you're right
but how the Masters is leveraging the web to deliver a experience
I've never seen
unlike
like it.
Anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and so this is partially about golf. Like, I'm excited. I mean, Tiger Woods is back playing tournament golf. Like, nobody ever thought that after that car wreck he would be back. I mean, mind-boggling. But this isn't a sports show.
Yeah,
as excited as I am to go and finish watching his first round. Yeah. You know, really what we want to talk about is the web technology being leveraged right now. Like, Andrew and I started messing with it this morning, and it was just like one thing after another. Like, wait, what? I can do this now?
I was heading over, and you were like, wait until you get here.
I can't believe it. And they have an app, so maybe you can do all this stuff in the app. I don't know. I don't care because it's all on the web. I can go to masters.com, create my little account. So for starters, the whole field is up there at the top, and so you pick any player you're wanting to click. So that now that the tournament's going, you see whoever's in the leads first, and it goes by score. You click them. They have a whole player profile, history, how they played at the Masters before, all kinds of stuff. If they have any specific media attached to them, like, it's in there, which is, that's a nice touch.
Like news articles and stuff down at the bottom.
It's like,
very cool.
That's neat, but not a big deal. But
that's something you've maybe seen with other stuff.
Sure.
You know, other
there's a little star up there, and you can add them to your favorites. I was like, whatever.
That's cool. Yeah.
But then I realized that moves through the entire website. So when you go to live, first, they're broadcasting multiple cameras, multiple broadcasts of this tournament in real time on the site with zero commercials. They're not selling any commercials to this.
Rolex and Mercedes or whoever sponsoring this.
However that's working, I don't know. But you go to the live thing and you look at, you can just watch Amen Corner. You can just watch holes 4, 5, 6. But then you can click on your favorites, and then you'll see all the highlights from just your favorites. But then you can also click into any individual player and see a shot-for-shot replay of their entire round. And it's not just shot-for-shot. There's also this element on the side that gives you a 3D view of the course. So you can watch it side-by-side with this. So you're watching the shot. You'll see the shot, and then it has a little time thing at the bottom. Hits the shot, too. So it just goes to the next thing. So you can watch somebody's round in minutes, probably, at this point.
So dope,
see the shot. And then over on the right, you see it animate the shot, where it went, tell you exactly how far it goes and all that stuff. If you expand that thing and use your mouse, or if you're on your phone, two fingers, one finger pans around, it's a 3D version of the course, and you can track those shots one at a time, exactly where they go, see them in real time. And while you're looking at that in full screen, it then puts the video of that shot down here next to you, so you can see the video of him hitting the shot, and then look at it in a digital format and see all the stats and where they went. And there's scorecards up top.
Yeah.
And then you can do this for every player you want. And then when you're watching live, you can do multiple split screens and choose all your things.
Grab windows, drag them live, and it's all rendering
picture
on the web.
Window. So if you want to be doing this whole thing like following one player, but you want to keep the live one going, inside the web view portal there, you can picture in picture and drop it in the corner and be watching the broadcast, but really honing in on whoever. Mind-blowing how good it is. And it's all web based. There was nothing to install.
You don't have to download
nothing
an app.
Do nothing.
Which their app has been really good the last couple years.
I imagine.
I remember using it all of last year.
I imagine if the website looks this good, the app's got to be amazing. Yeah. But at this point, they could just wrap their web app into.
We need to download. We'll download it here in a minute.
Check it out. But if not today, I got one other thing I need to do today. So I don't know if I'll get it done today, but probably tomorrow I'll have a post up about this because it just blew me away. How functional, but how thoughtful the design is, and then just the technology going on. Yeah. Like we're talking real time. Like I was watching Tiger play real time and able to track all his shots and everything. And like I wanted to watch Bryson DeChambeau, you know, and he's not on any of the feeds right now. And so I was able to shot for shot watch him play. So he's literally the group in front of Tiger. And so, you know, I'm just kind of keeping up with what he was doing as I'm watching Tiger on the big screen. And I'm like, and seeing every shot. And like, I got through about 8 holes with him. And so I'll go back and sit and watch shot for shot. And if you hit play, it'll just play through. It'll go to the next hole and just play through. So I'll be able to catch up on his whole round in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Instead of having to watch the whole thing, even though I love sitting and watching, especially at the Masters.
And it's basically live. It might be delayed a little bit, probably.
I'm pretty sure it's pretty live.
But it's pretty dang close.
And so
that's the other part.
Yeah, the video element's cool, but I mean, think about how many feeds you've got going at one time that anybody can access. But then you've got the digital stuff going where it's doing the shot tracking. So
how is it getting the data that?
They've got it. I don't know. They haven't advertised any like top tracer stuff, but if you're familiar with Topgolf and the way that, so Topgolf used to, you would get to certain Topgolfs and it would trace the ball flight and everything for you. And that was because they were using a specialized golf ball that did all that stuff. And, which those were fine, but I'm sure those golf balls were crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Now they figured out, I'm sure they worked with a company like TrackMan, that does the radar based technology stuff. Like TrackMans have 2 radars in them. They're the same types of radars that track like ballistic missiles.
It's
insane technology. These things are also $20,000 to buy as a tracker. Not what we have in our office. Not even close.
Maybe one day.
I don't know.
It's a lot of money to spend.
There's some other ones.
When the SkyTrack is so like
real
great.
Good.
It's so great.
And there's others like the SkyTrack that are more of a visual. Scanner that, you know, that are probably going to be in the $4,000 to $5,000 range. That this whole segment's blowing up, and so there are going to be lots of options. But that doesn't mean that the radar based stuff is especially outside, because it's not just tracking the ball flight and then doing some analytics and statistics and creating what the shot should look like, which it does a pretty good job of that. These things are tracking the ball actually flying, landing, rolling. So once it locks onto that ball, it can track it up to 500 yards out.
Yep.
So it's not guessing where it went. It knows exactly where it went. And so you see this in Topgolfs now. Most Topgolfs have TopTracer in them. You can look in your booth, look right above you. There's a kind of rectangular-shaped looking thing. It looks kind of like a horn or something. It's a radar thing, and it can cover a few booths around it. And I don't know how all of it works. It's crazy, but that's how your ball gets tracked at Topgolf. Well, that now they sponsor lots of PGA events, and they'll say, oh, this shot, whatever preview brought to you by TopTracer from Topgolf, you know, but it's just that radar technology. Yeah. So they've just set them up at certain points. I haven't heard them say that with this yet. But once it gets on television, like it should be on TV right now, like cable television now, round.
You'll probably hear them say that.
They're probably using that or something exactly like it.
Yeah.
That way they get real time. But then you think they've got to have those everywhere.
Yeah.
And they've got to feed them to a computer that can get them to a server that can get them online.
And for every player that's on the course.
It's happening in seconds because you'll see the shot get hit, and about 3 seconds later, you'll see.
There it is.
The digital.
And it's, you know, like you said, 3D. So you can sit there and be like, oh, yeah, look at that. Look
right there.
Oh, how'd they bend it around that tree? Well, let me go see. I mean, insane.
And all on the web.
It's web-based.
All web tech.
And you know, this is some stuff that, you know, over the years we've seen this sort of insane, like, web development come along, right? But you've expected this sort of things in apps. And you would have these developers building these apps, these incredibly robust apps that are doing this stuff. And now you're just getting that delivered on the web.
I mean, it's
in a browser.
It's insane.
You can go to masters.com and see all of this right now.
Yeah. And it's all free. They're not asking anything of you.
Yeah. Which, like, normally I remember the last, it may not have been this last year, the 1 year, because I told you my brother bought the, like, the lunch package that they mail to you that gives the cups and the chips and everything.
Right.
And I think it was that year. And so that was a few years ago. Anywho, the app, like, you had to sign into the app and you had to, you know, give them all of your information.
Oh, so that came through the app? Like, they did?
I don't remember if it was through the app or I'm just saying that year the app was, you know, you had to sign, you had to get the app to watch the live stuff. Yeah. You had to sign in with your account, all that. Like, you don't have to do any of that for this. Like,
no.
You just go on the web and
like,
it's
like, I signed in just because I wanted it to keep my favorites once I set them.
Sure.
I wanted to be able to log in somewhere else.
Yeah, like, obviously they're going to bake in some features.
But it was let me keep my favorites and interact with the favorites thing. Like, I guess it was keeping it in cookies and stuff in the browser on any particular device.
Yeah.
So,
so dope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little boggled by it. Like,
web technology for the win.
Yeah, I mean, so good. So good. Yeah. And again, because it's web tech, you know, it's something that if you're a golf fan and you're kind of into this stuff, then that's something you can pull out a Chromebook and fully enjoy, like, completely.
Yeah. Again, it's not tied to any ecosystem. It's not tied to some app delivery mechanism.
Right.
It's the web.
Right. It's not just a certain, enjoy it on your iPad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it doesn't matter. You have a browser, desktop class browser, probably. No, that's not true. It works in my phone too. So, yeah. I just bonkers.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. It's so good.
Yeah, we're slowly trying to make a golf fan out of Andy Cam over there. You've been getting in on some of this coverage.
Yeah, I mean, today is historic. I mean,
yeah,
seeing Tiger Woods come back to play at the Masters to be competitive after his injury, like, and again, as you're listening to this, I don't know, he could have fallen apart. And
shot a
90 by now.
But Thursday, we're recording this Thursday, day one.
We got through, what, 12 holes with watching him?
We are about ready to go finish it up.
Yeah, and he was even. No, he's one under.
One under
with
that birdie.
We walked
almost
through. He finished aiming corner. Yeah, missed an eagle by like 2 inches. So just seeing him out competing again,
yeah, it is,
just gives
it
me
is,
goosebumps. I love it.
It's historic. And yeah, we're slowly. We got to get Andy on the simulator.
It might help
with some ability. Sure. Who knows?
Chipping and putting, at least.
Yeah. We'll for sure.
That.
Yeah.
Some
chipping and putting.
Get him on the cradle par three.
Oh yeah.
Like 60 yards max holes. It's all about chipping. Short
it's,
game.
That one's one of our favorites.
Yeah,
it's
super
fun.
I
had a hole in one the other day.
Hey.
It's a chip guy. Yeah. Is your mic on? I can't hear you. Are you on? I can't tell. My headphones, whenever I wear these headphones, it's not as...
I'm not hearing him through here, but it might just not be routing it. I don't know. Hopefully, we're catching the audio.
Hopefully.
If not, it's the conversation we're having.
Hopefully that, and hopefully we're... You can hear him through the room.
Yeah. He's in here,
Andy's over there, I promise.
I swear.
You can use the audio from that, the Andy cam.
We didn't green screen him in.
He also helps that I'm a very loud
talker. I know. Yeah. So loud. Like, easily projects to this other mic.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, folks. I think that's it for this week's episode. We appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. And yeah, we'll catch you all next week. See ya. Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com. And follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.